What a pleasure to be on another episode of the Hockey Path with the great Will Richter, a good friend of mine, a good friend of my family, and a guy whose father I had to coach against, and unfortunately for his father, we beat them in the playoffs. Anyways, that's another story for another day. Will, great to see you, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
How are things going at Yale this year?
It's been good. It's been good. It's been a fun year so far. It's super competitive right now. So it just makes every day way more fun and way more worth it, you know? So it's been awesome.
I got to ask you, what's the new rink like? I know they've done a lot of work on the rink. How's the Whale Tail?
Oh, the Whale's awesome. I love our rink. I think it's one of the best rinks in college hockey for sure. I'll stand by that. But we got just a brand new Jumbotron, and it fits in quite nicely. It's a pretty cool gig. So it's been awesome.
How'd you end up at Yale?
I mean, honestly, it was probably a pretty cool full circle moment for me. I grew up in the area around Guilford. We used to live. So, we used to come out to the games on Friday, Saturday nights, me and my family. And, you know, I was a little kid in the stands eating a hot dog and a pretzel, watching the game, like didn't know that I was going to end up here and there in a few years. So, I mean, it was awesome when I went to junior through, after prep school for a bit. And, I got called on August 1st after my freshman sophomore year of high school. And Keith Lane was offered me a commitment, and I wouldn't have been happier to go anywhere else. So it was awesome.
The first time I ever saw you play, you were playing at the Brunswick School.
Yep.
And you're probably 14 years old. I would say that sounded about right, right? Would you say? Yep. Yeah. And you were ripping it up. You were just doing so well. And I could see the passion you had to play. Where did that passion come from, Will?
I think I'm the youngest of three brothers, and definitely a big, pretty good hockey family, pretty big hockey family. So I was always growing up playing knee hockey, street hockey, whatever it is, against my oldest brother. He was 4 years older, so I definitely had to kind of find an extra competitive edge to kind of compete with him and make sure he would actually play with me instead of just blowing me off. So I think I contributed to that for sure. He's been awesome to me when growing up and that sort of thing, keeping me included, letting me play with him and his buddies, and I always had to earn my keep in a way. So I think that's kind of where the love for the game happened, like fell for me. So it was fun. A lot of fun, man.
I think you're underselling the hockey family side of this thing. Just so everybody understands, Will's father, Mike, was a goaltender of record in the 1994 Stanley Cup Final, but he was also the MVP of the 1996 World Cup of Hockey, where Canada actually lost to the United States in the Bell Center in Montreal. And his dad also played in the 1988 Olympics. So I think he's underselling it just a little bit. And if you're a fan of college hockey, the best goalie in the country, it's called the Richter Award. So that's who Will Beanie Richter is and the family that he comes from. And I got to ask you now, just in advance, because we want to be transparent on the show, Will, how did you get the nickname Beanie?
Yeah, so it's been a lifetime nickname for me. The story goes, and I think this is one that's most plausible. I've heard a few, but when I was just born, my oldest brother, Tom, said I had a massive head. It kind of looked like a bean. So like my parents thought it was hilarious, of course. And so they kind of started calling me Beanie for a while. And then like it kind of stuck. So growing up when I was especially young, I like basically thought it was my name. So I'd introduce myself as Beanie and that sort of thing. And it just caught on, and it's been here since. So.
Okay. I didn't hear that one before, but that's good. That's a good plausible description of how you got the nickname Beanie.
A little confused. He's got a big head too, so I don't know what that's all about.
Your hockey path is amazing. You talked about growing up in Guilford. You went to the Brunswick School, and then all of a sudden you go out and play in British Columbia. And that was right around when COVID was really apparent around the world, obviously. Yeah. And you were young. You were probably the youngest man in the BCHL that year. Yeah. What led you there? How did you cope? And what got you through?
So I'm going to have to give you guys a shout out, the McGuire family. But so COVID was a kind of a blessing in disguise for me. A lot of hockey was shutting down in like the tri-state area and that sort of thing. And I always figured I would play junior somewhere. And it was nice having an older brother who went through the experience and played up in Prince George for a bit and Cowichan, and then eventually in Penticton where I played. And so we were sitting there and I went out for a tryout Kind of just like introduce myself, like maybe get like a look down the line after finishing up prep school and that sort of thing. But I guess I played pretty well. The coach liked my game and he asked if I could stay for the rest of the year and then commit for the following year. So it was a little bit of a tough decision for sure. I was 15 when I left. We went up quarantining up in Penticton with a few of the other guys that are older that were going to the squad. And I mean, it was awesome. So I had to like transfer schools. I went out to public school in Penticton, and that was a whole thing because school started prior to my offer to stay and come back the following year. So I was going and waking up at like 4 a.m. to go online classes back home because of the time change. So that was a pretty interesting experience. But I mean, I wouldn't change it for the world. I had a blast. I mean, your son Ryan was very, very good to me. We went to school together. He'd always pick me up in the morning. We lived quite near each other. So it was fun riding with him to the rink and into school and that sort of thing. So I mean, a lot of thanks to the people, my Billet family, the whole program. Like a lot of people were very nice to me then. So I think it's kind of helped me mesh my like experience well, especially as a young guy going a little early. So
you talked about going and playing for a coach there, Fred Harbinson, who's a legendary coach in junior hockey. What did Fred teach you in terms of adapting to a higher level of hockey, Will?
I think it's just attention to the details. Like he prided himself and our team on like how hard we work and our kind of mindset going into games where it's like we're gonna go out, like we're gonna attack. And we run a tight ship, and he did a very good job coaching us. We had a pretty solid team for a few years there. And every year, like I felt like we were just getting better and better, and just like the little things that would help us get over the edge. He was preaching very well to us, and it made all of us better players. And it was pretty cool.
I remember where you scored your first college goal and when you did it. Do you remember?
I do remember.
I know where it was. It was at Lionel Rink at Cornell University. And I talked to you the night before. You were at Colgate.
Yeah. That was awesome. They definitely have a really cool atmosphere there. And it was a tight game. I got a little cheeky rebound. Kind of did a little backhand flip and having to go in, and like I kind of blacked out for a second. But that was a super special experience, especially scoring at a place like that. It's a tough atmosphere and like a really good hockey team. So I don't think I'll forget that one for a long time.
Beanie, how do you balance hockey and academics? Because I know Yale's obviously not a cakewalk academically. How do you balance the two?
I think it's just kind of finding time, like using all your time. Like there's definitely days where you have lighter course loads and lighter class schedule. And if you can use those days to like to your advantage and kind of set yourself up for the next day and for the rest of the week, even for like the rest of the month, if you really want to get ahead, you got to sit down and just like, you know, you got an hour or two, you just put an hour or two of work in. Like when you work, you got to make sure you're working, or you slack off a little bit and think about other things and don't get as much done as you can. It'll come back to bite you. So staying on top of the work is definitely I think the name of the game going to a school like this and playing hockey on top of it, because it's a huge time commitment. But you're able to kind of workshop your schedule around when practices are, and they're pretty flexible with like changing our lift times and that sort of thing to kind of allocate for some of the those conflicts. But if you got, as I was just saying, as long as you use your extra time best of your ability, I think you'll be fine.
One of the cool parts about the ECAC are the rivalries. You know, I think about when I coached at St. Lawrence versus Clarkson. You experienced a little bit just watching Colgate and Cornell. Mm-hmm. And I know you're involved in the big one with Yale and Harvard. Take us inside the rivalry that is Yale and Harvard.
I mean, it's been around for generations. I think it's one of the coolest rivalries around campus. You can especially see it when the football game is going on. I think that's the biggest tell. But they do it alternating sites at home or away, depending on the year. And like this year was home. So a lot of, you can just see like waves of red crimson guys coming to Yale, and you're sitting there and you're like, where are all these guys coming from? Where are they even staying? You know, that sort of thing. But, and everyone gets involved in that. So it's not just, team on team competition. It's more like a school on school. So it's very, very special and super, it's been going on for a while. So I'm super glad and like happy that I could be a part of it. We got a game against them coming up soon at home. So we're, it's going to be a fun one.
First time I ever saw your father play, he was playing for the Northwood School up in Lake Placid, New York. The ECAC obviously has their tournament championship, both for the men and the women in Lake Placid. I know your family owns a property close by. Do you ever allow yourself to think about what it would be like to play in the 1980 Lake Placid Arena in the Final Four for the ECAC?
I mean, it's definitely a dream and an aspiration of ours and definitely a goal on our list for sure. But it's tough to get there. I think for me especially, it'll be pretty cool. I kind of grew up around that area a long time, like skating on the lake out there. They got a little hockey box at the Olympic Center that was open 24/7. And me and my brother would tear that up for hours on end, and you know, and freezing cold doesn't really matter. But I have a lot of really good memories there, and it'd be super, super cool to go back.
Did you ever help your dad with the maple farm?
We actually have a little group chat. Me, my dad, and my two brothers. We're planning on doing some mapling this spring. Depending on the weather, I'm not sure when it's going to be, but we do pump out a few bottles of maple syrup. You know, we got a like loads of it underneath, like in like our crawl space and that sort of thing. I don't know what we do with it, but it's pretty good. It's not bad. It's not bad.
No, it's really good. I think that's such a great way to experience time with your father and your brothers in particular. And I know your mom is involved too, so that's kind of cool. Yeah. Let me ask you this about growing up in a house that's got such a famous father like you had. Did you feel extra pressure to have to produce hockey-wise, or was that your dad just a cool dad that just let you play?
I think to a certain extent, there's always a little bit of that pressure in the back of your mind, but huge to like shout out to my dad. Like he did an awesome job growing up and just like letting us fall in love with the game ourselves and not having it feel like it's forced upon us and that sort of thing. And it was just awesome. Like he's definitely in the game a little bit. I remember we were playing knee hockey one day and he came home from work and he's like, screw it, like I'm getting in the net. And he sat there and I probably worked on it like 30 minutes ripping the knee hockey ball out. I couldn't score for a while, but I finally got one on him and that felt pretty good. I think he was a little bit upset about it though, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Does he ever talk about his career at all? Because if he doesn't, I'm gonna just tell you one thing about your dad. At his time in his peak from 90 to about 98, he was as consistent as any goalie in the league, and he was probably one of the smaller guys in the league. It was amazing how athletic and quick he was, but his angle play was phenomenal. Has he ever gone over tapes with you or talked about his career?
We've never done tapes, but he's definitely been really good at helping me out with my game and that sort of thing. And one of the things he preached to me for a very long time is just like your confidence comes from your preparation. Mm-hmm. And the more you prepare, the more you kind of trust in yourself and trust in your abilities. And like that's where that confidence will come from, is your preparation. So that's probably the biggest story he's taught me. He's taught a few other ones. But the ones I'm probably most thankful for are just like how to be a good person, that sort of thing, hockey aside. But the confidence from the preparation is definitely the biggest one he put on me.
When you go to MSG and you see your name hanging from the rafters with his number retired, what do you tell your friends?
I don't know. I just kind of laugh. Like, it's pretty funny because I think like other people's perception of my dad is very different from my perception, you know. Mm-hmm. To me, just kind of a regular dad, and he's sit there and, you know, he's got his bird feeder outside, go out, chop wood with him, do the lawn sort of thing. I think a lot of people don't see that. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about the way he's, gone about life with our family and that sort of thing. It's just a family kind of first sort of dynamic, and it's been unreal.
He had some legendary teammates like Mark Messier and Brian Leetch and Adam Graves. I can go down the line. I coached a lot of games against those guys back in the day. Messier ever pop by and give you any advice, or Leetch ever come by and give you some advice?
So at the Greenwich Skating Club, when I was playing very young, he was one of the coaches, and I grew up playing with his son as well as Chris Drury and his kid. And so like there's a good amount of of names around our area. And I'm good friends with Douglas, Mark's son. And it's pretty cool. We live quite near each other, so we'd always hang out a bit. And like, I'd be over at his place, then you come over to ours. Like, so that was a pretty cool experience. And like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird, but it's fun.
So your dad went to Yale, but he went to Yale after the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Was that one of the reasons why you picked Yale, or I know Coach Elaine very, very well, and I know what kind of tenacious recruiter he is, but what finally closed the deal for you to go to Yale?
I think maybe that's a little bit attributed to my mom kind of growing up. She made sure we all took our academics very seriously. And, one of the things kind of looking at my dad's career and that sort of thing, how it like with the concussions and all that stuff, like, the majority are like, you're not going to be playing hockey forever. And I think that's why the ECAC and especially the Ivy League is a very good place to look at to go play hockey, because you learn a lot of things. It's great schooling and that sort of thing. And hockey's good too. So it's definitely hard to say no to a place like this. And if you get the opportunity to.
So your brother Thomas played at Union College after playing in Penticton as well. Now he's overseas playing pro hockey in Switzerland.
Yeah.
How's that going for him?
So he's having a blast. He's out there. His girlfriend came out with him, and I think she's going to sign with the women's team in the area, which is pretty funny. So they went to Union together. But growing up, like especially the past few years before he graduated, it was always pretty funny talking about like Unions in the ECAC as well. So like, right. And him, like who's going to win all this stuff, like making jokes to our mom that like, we're going to fight in like warm ups or like that. And she thought it was funny to a certain extent, but definitely got her blood boiling a little bit. So now that's
great. So what's the off season like for Will Richter?
So I live at home and I train. There's a lot of good facilities there. I work out and skate out of Stanford Twin Rinks, skate with Chris Gragnano, who's been a coach in the past and really good to me. He's been around my game and my development for a really long time. And then I work out up in Prentice, which is above the rinks, Prentice Hockey Performance. They've been awesome to me. They've done a very good job with my off ice performance and that sort of thing. But it's kind of cool to have a kind of one-stop place like that so close to home. Where it's easy, just get up, work out early, skate after, and then you go about your day. But it's super accessible, a really nice facility there. So it's been good.
When you're up at Prentice, do you ever see Chris Kreider or any of those guys? Because I know a lot of those guys are around.
Yeah. Every now and then I'll see him. I saw him more in the past for sure, just because our lift times were more similar. I was going up early. I was going out 7 or 8 in the morning this past summer. So it's definitely a quieter gym at that hour than around noon and stuff like that. But yeah, Chris Gragnano runs for his skates. Like there's a lot of pro guys and a lot of apprentice guys that go out and skate. So it was nice to see that. Mm-hmm. And even Will Dineen, our captain from last year, he spent the summer up in Prentice and around town. So got to skate with him a few times as he's playing in Laval. So it was pretty good to be able to go to those skates and kind of gauge your development against some pretty good players. So it was fun.
Yeah, Will Dineen is now part of the Montreal Canadiens organization playing in Laval for their AHL team. And he's on his way, well on his way. He's doing a great job. Will, I can't thank you enough for doing this. You've had the most amazing voyage. And I want to compliment you because I know you're, like I said, you're one of the younger kids to play in the BCHL during the COVID time. And the way you handled it, and I know that everybody in Penticton talked about it, was phenomenal. It's a reflection on your character. It's a reflection on the way you were raised. It's a reflection on the kind of teammate you are. I think it's a fantastic story. Your journey's been amazing. And you could have pouted and moped and cried, and you didn't. You battled through a lot of stuff. So I really want to commend you for that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I want to thank you as well for, on behalf of Ryan, helping me out a bit. A little bit of a babysitter at some points, as you said. But He is awesome. He's thank you as well.
Yeah, well, you guys are lifelong friends, so I think that's a big part of the hockey journey too, is when you meet people and you stay in touch with them and you get to cheer them on, even though you have to play against them from time to time. I think that's pretty cool. So well done, Will. Please give my best to your mom, Veronica, and your dad, obviously, Mike, and keep getting those Eli some wins. I want to see you in Lake Placid as a player, not as a fan.
Oh, we'll be there soon enough. I'm excited.
Thanks a lot, Will. I appreciate it. You've been watching another edition of the ECAC Hockey Pad. Thank you so much. That's Will Richter.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
The ECAC Hockey Championship returns to Lake Placid, New York this March. Witness the first ever ECAC Hockey Women's Championship in Lake Placid on March 6th and 7th, and the Men's Championship on March 20th and 21st. It happens at the legendary Herb Brooks Arena, the home of miracles.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Don't miss the battle for the 2026 title and an NCAA bid. Tickets are on sale now at LakePlacidOlympicCenter.com. ECAC Hockey, the educated decision.